Today on Real Life Radio.
Isn't it wonderful that you and I, in this world that we live in, with all of the difficulties and all of the pressures that come upon us, what is God saying to you? What does God say to you when you just slow down and listen? I love you. I forgive you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know that the Bible has a lot to say about the future? Our future. It's called Bible prophecy. And never before have current events come together so perfectly as to align with biblical prophecy. That's why I want to tell you that on Sunday, June 26th, Pastor Jack's going to have a special event that you're really going to want to be a part of. It's called Israel, Russia, and the Coming Global Reset. What's next on God's prophetic time clock, and what can we expect to see happen? The event will stream live on all Sunday services, so mark your calendars right now for June 26th at 8 a.m., 10:30 a.m., and 1 p.m. Pacific Time for a very special Bible prophecy update from Pastor Jack Hibbs. To find out more, visit jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series in the book of Revelation with a message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 4. Now, here in chapter 14 of Revelation, we see that these visions from God are not given to us in a chronological order. Still, this really is an insightful chapter on judgment and the events that will follow the Great Tribulation period. Now, we see in this chapter God bringing judgment to an unbelieving world. But we can't view God's judgment from a human level. God is holy, and both His love and His judgments are perfect. God doesn't delight in bringing judgment, but He has to be true to His word, and throughout Scripture, God warns us of what will happen when we reject Him. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there is a great chasm between heaven and hell that can't be crossed. The Bible is clear that heaven is real, and so is hell, a place of torment where no one can reach down and help you, a place for those who refuse to believe what the Bible says about life after death. Now in his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It is just, it is right, it is holy and pure that those who reject that work of Jesus on the cross suffer torment forever. I don't like it, you don't like it, but remember this. Abraham said, "Shall not the God of all the earth do right?" What do you think the answer to that is? Yes. There is a hell. And Jesus doesn't want you to go there. In Luke chapter 16, you might want to turn there, by the way. It's a chunk of verse there. Luke 16, beginning at verse 19. Make no mistake about it, friends. Scholars, some liberal scholars have tried to make this a parable. This is not a parable. For in a parable, Jesus never names anyone. And in a parable, the Bible always says, "And he spoke this parable unto them, saying." Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. This is an actual event that Jesus Christ himself, being God in human flesh, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus knew about. He says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived luxuriously every day. And at his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus." Don't confuse this Lazarus with the Martha and Mary Lazarus. "Covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side." Paradise. "The rich man also died and was buried." Look at verse 23. "And in hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus with him by his side. So he called out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.'" Notice, he's burning, but he's not dead. He's burning, but he's not consumed. That's torment. But Abraham replied, verse 25, and said to him, son, remember, in your lifetime you received the good things of life, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony there. Verse 26, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed. A great canyon, a grand canyon between the two of us. So that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. Listen to this. Send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. And Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. In other words, what's he saying? Read, have them read the Bible. Let them read the Bible. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, verse 30, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. And listen to what is stated here. It's quite provoking. He said to him, that's Abraham speaks, if they do not listen to Moses and to the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the truth of the matter is, people don't listen to him either. There is torment, and it awaits those who reject Christ. And nobody wants to dwell on that. And it's a tragic thing. But listen, we as Christians, we need to plead with people. Look at verses 12 to 13. Regarding everyone having a choice, they have the right also to choose correctly. You and I do. Verse 12 and 13 says, here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Stop right there, verse 12. Please understand this. If you go and look at the commandments of God, please listen. Don't be derailed when you hear the word commandments and you think negative. I hope as a Christian, you are on your way to outgrowing that kind of thinking, or you've overcome that kind of thinking, that the commandments of God are just impossible and heavy duty and legalistic and burdensome. Doesn't the Bible say that the commandments of God are not burdensome? If they're burdensome to us, then we misunderstand them. How about this? By the way, if you look at the commandments of God, there's something, just in the New Testament, there's an estimated 170 commandments of God in the New Testament alone. What are they? Oh, things like this. Love one another. How burdensome is that? The commandments of God. Believe on him whom God has sent. How hard is that? Esteem others more highly than yourself. How hard is that? Bless the poor. How difficult is that? You see, the commandments of God are wonderful, not grievous. This reference of the scripture, though, is this, that during the tribulation period of time, those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, just like you today, who are of the body of Christ, you love the commandments of God. Now, Jesus fulfilled all the law of God on the cross. Jesus did that. And he did what you and I could not do when he went to the cross. But this is the beautiful thing for us. Having been freed from the law, that's what the book of Galatians and the book of Romans is all about. Having been freed from the law, we now have faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit, having moved inside you and I, he lives out the law of God in our hearts. He's the one who says to us, love, care, be benevolent, be caring, put your faith in Christ, trust in him. Isn't it wonderful that you and I, in this world that we live in, with all of the difficulties and all of the pressures that come upon us, what is God saying to you? What does God say to you when you just slow down and listen? I love you. I forgive you. Look, don't jump up right now and raise your hand with what I'm about to say. Are you living under a shadow? Is there something that has gone on in your life? I don't care if it was 5 minutes or 5 years. Did you stray from Christ? Not only do I know how that is, I'll tell you exactly what you may be hearing in your head right now, because I've been there. And by the way, if anybody's sitting around you goes, I don't know what that's like, just watch their nose like Pinocchio. It will start to grow. If you fall away from the Lord, one of the things that you'll hear is you can never come back. You know, God won't have you. Don't you know that you've pushed his love so far? You've rejected him so bad, he doesn't want you back. Don't you know that you are just a tremendous debt rather than an asset to the kingdom? What church would have you anyway? You're a loser. And even if you do find a church that will accept you, and even if you think that you've repented and God's forgiven you, God will never use you again. And you're living under a cloud. Do you know what that's called in the Bible? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Those of you who have been living underneath the cloud, let me tell you right now, the sun has risen and it's bright. S-O-N. He has risen and it's bright. And he's bright. And that cloud, you need to let that cloud evaporate. Because when you come to him, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Not you, not me. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. That's good news, my friend. If you're living under a cloud and you ask him to forgive you, this is where faith has to come in. Lord, I've lived under this cloud. I have cried out to you. I have begged forgiveness. And listen, even if no one else will forgive you, listen, you ask Jesus Christ, you ask God to forgive you. And when you say, Lord, forgive me, remember, he's faithful and just to forgive you. And in that moment, you take 1 John 1:9, that's that promise. You take it and you say, from this moment on, Lord, I'm going to walk in your forgiveness. And maybe 1,000 times in one day, that condemning thought will come into your mind. Oh, I don't know if God forgave me. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I need to ask him to forgive me of that old sin again. Listen, claim the promise of God. Jesus, you told me to confess. I confess to you. You said you forgave me. I'm forgiven. And I walk on in faith. That's what you have to do. You've got to press forward in faith. That's what disciples do. And you walk in that victory. And listen, if it's a husband or a wife, if it's a parent or a child, or maybe somebody who continually reminds you of your old sin. Well, you man, you did this, you did that. I know that'll break your heart. But God says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sin from you. He says, I've taken your sin and I've cast it into the depths of the sea. Now, for those of us who live here in California, that's not deep enough for us because we live by the water. We know, hey, I can drop anchor and hit the bottom. And what if someday I lift up the anchor and there's my sin hanging on the end of that anchor? Well, in the Jewish mind, when he said, I've cast it into the sea, listen, Jews are not big on the ocean. They're not big on the sea. They don't like it. I mean, they have a couple of gunboats and some secret marine type weapons, but the Jews, the Hebrews, they're not big on the ocean. They have a very eerie belief about the ocean. That's interesting. In the Bible, it talks about when there's a new heaven and a new earth, there is no what? Oceans or seas. God says, I've cast your sin in the depths of the sea, and I will remember it no more. Did you know that God and God alone has the ability to forget? Did you know that to forget? See, you thought it was old age or Alzheimer's. Like, you know. No. God alone has the ability to forget. Completely. If you've asked God to forgive you, shh. Don't bring it up anymore. Why? He's forgotten it. Lord, remember that sin back in 49? God goes, I can remember a lot, but I can't remember that. Oh, you remember, Lord, it was this and that. Oh, no, he doesn't remember. He forgets. Isn't that good news? I love that. That's good news. Listen, it tells us, amen, you can praise him for that, absolutely. Listen, the commandments of God, they're good. And faith in Jesus. This is a tremendous statement. This is during the tribulation period. It's not faith in yourself. How about this? How about this? You're hearing it on so-called Christian TV. Have faith in faith. Have you heard that? Have faith. Things like this. If you just pray and have faith in your prayer, doesn't that sound almost nice? The only thing is, it's heresy. Have faith in your prayer? That's insane. Have faith in faith? That's heresy. It's faith in God. You don't put your faith in prayer. People will tell you, because they've swallowed into this thing, just pray harder and just have faith in your prayer. Our prayers should be prayers based upon faith, meaning we're talking to the Lord, we believe He hears. Absolutely. But we cannot hold God hostage by our prayers and say, look, I've prayed, you got to do something now. You're obligated. Dangerous. Watch out for that. And here is the verse that I absolutely adore. Get your pen ready, because it's a wonderful thing. Verse 13, John says, I heard a voice from heaven. Okay, number one, it's not an angel. Every time we hear an angel, we hear John say, and an angel spoke with a loud voice, or an angel said this, or an angel said that. John hears a loud voice, strong voice, big voice from heaven. Just like when Jesus was in the Jordan River and John the Baptist baptized him. Remember? There was a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Guess what? An angel didn't say that. God the Father said that. Whenever there's the voice from heaven, it is God Almighty. And this is what God says. Now watch this carefully. There's a lot here. We could spend weeks on verse 13, and I'm not kidding. Then I heard the voice from heaven saying to me, write, welfare. That's the word. Blessed, well off, happy, better, the best, in a good place, are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Stop right there. How can the dead be well off? And this is where the rubber meets the road in this message. I couldn't wait to get to this verse. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Jesus, you're petrified of death. Look, I'll admit, I know Jesus. I'm not petrified of death. Do you know what I'm not happy about? Huh? Yeah! It's the dying process. My dad was a farm boy. And I grew up watching him do farm boy things. And I'm talking a farm boy. He was from a town in the plains of South Dakota. And it's one of those towns. It's not a city, it's a town. I don't even know if it's a town. But if you fly over the top of it, you know how people say, it's so small, if you blink, you miss it. If you fly over this town, you don't even have to blink, you'll miss it. I don't think there's a light on at night. And he was raised in an interesting way. Look, we didn't go to the dentist when we were kids. I hadn't been to the dentist since I was, my first time to the dentist, I was 19 years old when I broke my tooth off that Jack in the Box. What did I do before that? Oh, my dad would get a pair of pliers and a handkerchief and pull our teeth out. When we had an animal that was sick and it was dying, my dad took care of it. We had things go wrong. My dad cut his hand really bad one time. He stitched himself up. He had his tonsils taken out without anesthetic because he's afraid of needles. Go figure that one out. He's afraid of needles. And right or wrong, he took a big swig of bourbon, and this doctor that was down in San Diego in a back alley type of operation took his tonsils out. What kind of insanity is that? Farm boy. Strange stuff. When you have that kind of mindset about things, and you read here that blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on, you live this life, and all of us come from so many different backgrounds. How can death be better? I remember my dad I'll spare the details. I just remember my farm boy dad saying, son, and this was our pup, and he loved this pup. He's not going to recover from this. It's a very terrible sickness. And my dad took care of it right there. And I remember him saying, he's going to be better. He's going to be better now. You don't understand that as a kid. But what do you say as a parent? It doesn't have to be that graphic as a young child growing up with a farm boy kind of dad. What if you are someone, you're a parent or you're a grandparent, and you turn to that little kid and you say, honey, sweetheart, they're better off now. It's better for them now. Do you know what I'm trying to communicate? It's that they're better. Death is better. It's hard for us to believe. Here in the Bible, the announcement is made during the tribulation period, and this is what it means. Well off are those now who die. Why? The question would be, how come? Why? Because the things that are coming on the earth during this period of time are so horrific that death for the believer is wonderful. You see, you may have a farm boy approach to it and say, wow, it's kind of brutal. Not to God. Not to those of us who have faith in Christ. There will be, not you, if you're a Christian, you won't be living through at this time. But for those who will be believers at this time, the announcement's going to be made, it's better off for you to die and go into the arms of the Lord than to continue living in this world, says the Bible. You say, well, that's pretty fatalistic. Only to you who don't believe in the Bible. So you don't see it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't see that. Your God is limited to this world. You don't see. Just a breath away is the Lord Almighty with his arms stretched out waiting to receive. The Bible says precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. Now you and I can't remember, but when we were in our mom, I would think it's 98.6 degrees in there. That's one thing we know for sure. Pretty cramped, I would think. Naked, although we didn't know we were naked. I would imagine there's a lot of stuff you could hear. You know, that aqueous solution around you transmits a lot of sound. So you probably have to think about this. 1, 2, 3, tush! Tush! You know, and the little baby's like, oh man, well, I'm going somewhere. And you know, and head first, head first! We don't know what was going on in there. Could you imagine those stopping the process? Excuse me, what do you think's happening? I don't know, but everything's pushing from behind and I feel like I gotta get out of here, but I don't know where I'm going. Think about it. I like it here. I've been here 9 months, it's fine with me. It's warm, it's perfect, it's great. That baby's coming out, going somewhere I've never been before. Baby comes out and then, how's that for a greeting? Wham, whoa! Naked, hanging there. What's that baby thinking? That baby has no idea that it's just been brought into what could be a wonderful life. Think about it. As Christians, how could death? Oh, I don't even want to hear about it. For the Christian, it's just a doorway, my friend. It's just a hallway. We're just passing through that moment into the eternal presence of God. That's a wonderful thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 4. Thanks for joining us today. Heavenly Visions Make for Earthly Announcements, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, you guys, Pastor Jack here, and I'm going to encourage you to get your hands on the book, Disciplines of a Godly Man. It is awesome. And the author, R. Kent Hughes, walks you through what it is to be a disciplined man. Discipline at prayer, discipline at thoughts, discipline with your tongue, discipline in life. Disciplines of a Godly Man, get your copy. You'll be blessed by it.
Disciplines of a Godly Man. It's available when you give a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Real life, hey. Real life, hey. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.